long you been playing, bro?
Not too long.
That's right, too, Tommy.
They even put that miner in there. Boy, it's good to be back home.
Yeah, always is.
I tell you, it's there's never been another place like the place where you got saved, where you answered your call to preach, and even said I do right here twice. Same woman. But the first time I said I do, guess who I said it to? The Lord.
Yeah. Amen.
But it's good to be here. I tell you, I appreciate you, Pastor. I've seen him grow a lot. Been blessed to have him sit under me for a little while. And he sat under a good man, under Brother Marty. And I think you got a good man of God right here. And we do appreciate that. And, Brother, I'll try my best to have us praying by 12 o'clock. But I was thinking about that 50 year. I liked him bringing out the Jubilee. That's one of my favorite Old Testament things, is the year of Jubilee. It's a wonderful thing, but I was born in 1969. Do you know, that's a good year, not just because I was born in 69. All you good muscle cars were 69. 69 Camaro, 69 Torino, just all of them. Just wonderful, wonderful time for cars in 1969. 69, man walked on the moon. Just a wonderful year, even though we was in a war. But still, God's blessed. But 50 years. And brother, I didn't think I was getting too old until I took Donna to the coast for Christmas, and we stopped at a Hardee's and got breakfast, and we gave them our order and got looked, and she gave us senior citizens.
Praise the Lord.
Well, I didn't think I actually looked that old, but I guess maybe I do. But anyhow, it's wonderful, wonderful thing, church, that y'all doing. I'm thankful that the Lord laid this on his heart for you. 50th year, that's a mile marker for the church. But tonight, if you will, be turning with us to the book of Acts. I'll quit rambling and get to business tonight. Appreciate the good singing this evening. Appreciate the good messages we've done heard. Appreciate being able to be back in service with my pastor again. I tell you what, brother, I'm glad you didn't quit when you left up there, because guess what? It's my call to preach under him. God had a purpose for him. What was it? Take me under his wings. And let me and instruct me. And I tell you, our paths didn't cross unintentionally. God had a purpose, and I do appreciate you, brother. You more than you ever know. But 32 years this coming May or April. 32 years, brother. That's hard to believe. I guess I am getting old. But chapter 28. I wish I could preach like I was Poncho's age. I tell you what, it's good to be young, brother. Let me encourage you to hammer down, because there's going to come a day when you're not going to be able to do it like you are today. But just don't let it bother you. That's, sometimes it'll bother a preacher, because the way their style of preaching changes. But God has a purpose for that. And so anyway, tonight in chapter 28, one of my favorite books of Acts, and chapter 27 and 28, I believe, is one of the two most powerful chapters in this book, other than chapter number 2. I believe chapter number 2 should be very important to everybody in this building, because it's the birth of the church that you and I are part of today. When the day of Pentecost came to pass, that is exactly when the church was born. And boy, I'm glad it was. And I'm glad that church has continued on since that day. And let me say, the devil has tried his best to tear it down. But I'm glad for what Jesus told Peter. He said, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail." And I'm glad tonight, even though he may try and it may seem like he gets the upper hand at times, let me remind everybody here tonight, I'm glad to report to you, a friend, that the church is on the winning side. I'm glad to report to you tonight, if you are saved by the grace of God, you're on the winning side. But I want us to look at something tonight. And I preached several messages out of this. And we all know what chapter 27 and 28 deals with. We find that Paul is in one of the biggest storms. And that's been mentioned several times here tonight. I don't know if y'all paid any attention, but I did sitting there. And talking about storms. And I preached a message years ago on what to do after the storm. Some of you may remember that. So I appreciate some of the folks from Welcome View being here tonight. You may get a little bit of leftovers tonight, but that'll be all right. But I want to start off by, let's look at some storms that we go through. And I'll get into the message here shortly. But I want you to understand there's different types of storms. Now, there's some storms tonight that will not cause no damage, but all it'll do is bring fear in our lives. Some of you remember growing up as kids, the thunder and lightning sometimes would scare you. But you know what? Even as adults, there may be some storms that'll come through physically that even may bring some fear into you even now. But then not only is there a storm that's like that, but then there's storms that actually cause damage. Y'all remember when Hugo come through? Somebody tried to make us work. Me and Greg said, "We ain't going to be able to do nothing today." We got up there, wind was blowing. We still had power. We was working inside. There's everything going good. All of a sudden, we seen a sign go flying down 52. And it went about 2 or 3 minutes. There wasn't no Saul being able to run. And what he says, "I believe it's time to go, boys." I ain't never seen Greg flipping start rolling up extension cords as quick as my life. He looked like a tool camel going to the car, into the truck. But that storm tore up a lot of things. Amen. It left destruction. So we got storms that just brings fear. There's storms that brings destruction. Then let me say now, there's storms tonight that God plans for you to go through. Amen. Then there are storms that God didn't have no plan for you to be in, but you put yourself there yourself.
Go ahead, tell it.
Now, we find in the Bible that I can prove to you that there's storms that God wants you to go through. How many of you remember when Jesus said to his disciples, he said, go to the other side.
Amen.
While I, what, pray. So they went down there and got in a boat. Going across there, guess what they run into? A storm.
Yeah.
And they was rowing and rowing and rowing and couldn't get no word. So they was right in the middle of a storm. Guess who come walking to them? Right in the middle of their storm, Jesus come walking on top of
Amen.
It. That's wonderful, ain't it?
Amen.
Been one time they was out there in a storm. It got so bad. Now, you're talking about experienced sailors.
Right.
I'm talking about people that had been out in storms, Woody. And friend, they knew what to do. But when the ship got full of water, buddy, it was time for those experienced sailors to go to somebody and say, look, we're going to sink.
Right.
And then have the gall to say, carest thou not that we perish? But now notice this now. The Bible said the boat was full.
Right.
I dare any of you, if you've got a boat at the house, take it right across the street down here to a watershed, and I want you to put it in the water, and I want you to fill it up.
Right.
And tell me where it's going to go. It's going to go straight to the bottom. But I'm glad, thank God, even though that ship was full, there was somebody on that ship.
Yeah.
Glory to God, she wasn't going down.
Amen.
There's going to be storms. It's going to fill your boat. But I'm glad you got somebody on board with you.
Amen.
Now, let's look. I've got you thinking about storms. Now, it's nothing been said in this service about we're fixing to go into another year, has it? Have you noticed that? I've been to several of these things over the years. On my first 5 to 6 or 7 years of preaching, Brother Woody, there was times where I would preach at one, jump in the car, and go to another. I'd be running just here and yonder, 2 or 3 in a night. And you say, preach what he said. Every one I've ever been to, there's been something said about next year. Because it's just a little about 35 minutes away. 2020 will be here. I'm not going to ask you to think about year 2019. You want to know why? Because there's nothing you can do about it.
Amen.
It's done, done. I know that ain't good English.
Amen.
Donna, you've wrought me. It's done, done. It's finished. Boy, I'm glad Jesus didn't say hell on the cross. Boy, they'd really ridiculed him, wouldn't they? It is done, done. But we've not said nothing about 2020, have we? Do you know in the next 35 minutes there's going to be more lies told than any time of the year? People's going to promise things in the next 35 minutes that they have no intentions of really doing the rest of the year. Friend, I'll tell you right now, I'd rather not say a thing tonight than to say something and make a promise and not do it.
Right.
But I am going to say this to you tonight. Don't you think one moment about 2019 or what you did or what you didn't do, because you cannot go back and change it. But what we should be worried about right now is what we're going to do in this coming year if God lets us live.
Amen.
I'm no prophet, but I'd say there's somebody in this building right now who's been through a storm in 2019. Bad storm. And what's sad is this. I look out across this congregation, just under 1,000 people tonight, and I look at a bunch of people, and I see that there could be somebody that's got a big storm in the horizon coming up in 2020. I don't know what it might be in your life, but let me rest assure you, friend, not one of us in this building, is above going through these storms of life. I'm thinking about 50 years, the storms that's come in this church.
Right. Man.
I think back the almost 32 years that I've been trying to preach this book, brother. The storms that's come in my life.
Amen.
But I don't know about this crowd that wants to preach and tell you, oh, there's something wrong if you ain't living on the sunny side all the time. You might like Joel. You might like him, but I'm going to tell you right now, I don't agree with him. Just because you serving God don't mean you're going to have every new car that your heart's desire.
Right.
Just because you're right with God don't mean that you're going to wear the best clothes that money can buy. Let me say right now, friend, there was none of these disciples other than two that had money. Say, preacher, two of them had money. Yes, sir, one of them was a physician. Luke.
Yeah.
Who was the oven preacher? Matthew. He was a tax collector.
Yeah.
But now the rest of them, boys, fishermen.
Fishermen, poor men.
So let's get back to the storms you may be going through here in just a little bit. I want us to look a little bit at Paul's storm. Just before I get there, we find in chapter 27 that they started to take Paul to Rome. That's where they was headed. And they begin this journey by not listening to God. Friend, we find that that God came and warned Paul and told him to tell him to not set sail and because they would suffer much damage. But the Bible said that they believed the captain.
Right.
And they set sail.
Yeah.
And not too many days later, you know what takes place? One of the worst storms that had ever been hit. Now, just imagine being in the ocean. Or Mediterranean Sea this time, because he's going to Rome. Can you imagine being out there now for 14 days and nights and never seeing the sun nor the stars? Now, their ships did not have what we have today, GPSs and everything else. They had to mark their way by what? Stars and the sun. So they were lost. 14 days, wind blowing, storming and thundering and lightning, 14 days. Even the most seasoned captain could not even know where they was at. And he got so bad that they finally raised the sails in a storm. and done that number with the wheel and let it drive. In other words, they put that thing with the wind and the wind just drove it. That was bad. It would take him wherever. Now, here they are. They done lightened the ship. They throwed the foods, the supplies off. They letting the ship drive with the wind. Everybody's scared to death. And they had fasted for 14 days. But boy, I'm glad there was somebody on board.
Man.
Could do what's been talked about. What's been talked about tonight? Prayed.
That's right.
And the Bible said the angel of the Lord appeared unto Paul and said, fear not.
Fear not. Amen. Amen.
Whew.
Amen.
So here they are in a storm. He tells them, he said, for I have seen an angel of the Lord this night.
Hallelujah.
He's told me to be of good cheer. There'd be no loss of no man's life. Bide in the ship. And you know what they done? Finally, they got where they was sending out phantom. And we learned what that was when we went deep sea fishing. They would take a line and tie knots in it ever so many inches apart. And they would drop that and they would show them how deep the water was. And so they had found that, hey, we're getting close to land. And so what they done, they threw the anchor out and wished for the day, the Bible said. And when they came, when the daylight come, they saw that there was a river. And their aims was to run that boat up that river in between the islands to where they could be out of the storm.
Amen.
But you know what? They didn't get there. Hinder part of the ship stuck fast. The waves beat it down. Buddy, I'm going to tell you right now, some of them said, let's kill the soldiers. Lest they escape. But boy, I'm glad they didn't.
Right.
And then some of them said, let's swim, jump, swim to shore. And Paul said, except you bide in the ship. Buddy, when it come, busted the ship down. Those that couldn't swim had to grab a hold of a board or something other. And they made towards shore. And they didn't even know where they was at. In chapter 28, we find that they wound up on an isle, Melita. And while they was there, it still was cold and raining. They showed them no little kindness, and they built a fire.
Right.
Do you know what Paul was doing? He was up getting sticks, and he got up sticks, come over to the fire, and threw it. And a viper come out.
Yeah.
Stuck on his hand. Boy, this has been some kind of journey, ain't it?
Amen.
Well, he just shook it off into the fire. Let me say, brother, you keep building the fire around here, the serpents will show itself.
Right.
Oh, church, when you start building the fire, the serpents will come out. But we need to do what Paul done, just shake them off in the fire. But now, he's done been through all this now. We find he didn't die. Look with us now in verse number 15. They had found a ship after this island, and they were fixing And they had started sailing again. Now, look in verse number 15. And from thence, when the brethren heard of us, they came to meet us as far as Apophorum. And the three taverns, whom when Paul saw, he thanked God and took courage. There's where I want to preach a little while tonight. Now, Poncho, you would think Paul got encouraged when an angel showed up.
Right.
Would you not? Yeah. You'd think Paul would got encouraged when they got to shore and found people and had fires and something to eat. He's been through all this storm. And now we read this verse. And when Paul saw the three taverns, whom when Paul saw, he thanked God and took courage. Now tonight, Lord's willing, just for a few minutes, I'm going to preach on these taverns. Friend, let me say tonight, I'd really question God. Lord, why would these three taverns would Paul give thanks for, and then not only give thanks for, but take courage? See him three taverns.
Bless you,
Lord. Well, we must learn what these three taverns are. So tonight, we're going to give you what these three taverns were and why Paul took courage. And the reason I'm preaching this tonight is the fact that, like I said a while ago, there's somebody here tonight that's been through a storm. And there's going to be somebody in tonight that's going to go through a storm. Maybe not this week or next, but maybe next month. I don't know. But somebody is fixing to go through a storm. Maybe me. You don't never know. I think of the storms that me and my family's been through in the last 3 years. I hope not, but glory to God, let it be if that's what God wants.
Amen.
But you're going to need this in this storm. See, Paul wasn't took fully encouraged until he saw these three taverns. So, let's think about this taverns for a few minutes. Let's think about where they're at. They're just about at Rome. Now, some books, some scholars says that this place was somewhere around 11 miles out to the inner of Rome. Some says it was a day's journey, somewhere around 25 to 26 miles. But tonight, I kind of believe it may have been just 11 miles. Now, what was these taverns? Well, the best way for me to get you to understand what they would be like is for you to get on 77 and start up north. And when you get right up to the line, what is the first thing you see? Welcome Center. Well, this is kind of exactly what this was.
Yeah, go ahead.
It's kind of a welcome center to Rome.
Amen.
Now, these three taverns were three shops.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to give you what these three shops is tonight, and this is why Paul took courage. Friend, but because of these three taverns. The first tavern that they came to was a general store. It was a place, a tent or whatever it was, is a tavern, but it was put up to have anything that you needed.
Go ahead, amen. That's good.
Boy, I'm glad. You're somewhere tonight where you can get whatever it is that you need tonight.
Amen.
I'm glad, thank God, tonight Paul saw that there was a tavern there. It was like a just old general store, and anything you wanted was there. But I'm glad tonight, if you're here tonight, if you need boldness, you'll find it right here. If you need grace for this storm that you're going to go through, you'll find it right here tonight. It's been said tonight. How God meets our needs, don't He? But when we need things, do we really go to Him?
Right.
We like to rely on old self, don't we?
Right.
Probably everybody in here's got a job that you've been working for a while, buddy. Your finances is based on what you make every week. And the sad truth is that most of us actually trust that more than trusting our God. But I'm going to tell you something right now. Central States does not supply my needs. God does. And He's just using Central States for the time being. And if they go belly up, guess what? God's got somewhere else for me to be.
Amen.
In this storm, God will provide a place for you to get what you need. Remember that tonight. But it was sometimes, like I said, there's storms that causes destruction. Hey, there may be a storm coming in your life. You may lose everything you got. You remember, as the preacher told you tonight, in that storm, there's a tavern that's like a general store. It's a place to get what you need.
Amen. That's good.
If you're here lost tonight, you're in the right place to get what you need.
Amen.
So, we got a tavern. It's like a general store. They got all kinds of stuff in there. The next tavern that really touched my heart, brother, was the fact that it was a blacksmith shop. Now, for us, in our day and time, it would be Mount Airy Tire Company or one of these tire places in Mount Airy, that's what you'd be looking for. But in the Bible times, they needed a blacksmith shop. Why? Because they would need horseshoes. They would need things fixed for traveling. Boy, I got to thinking about that. Well, I've come into the first shop, got some supplies I need, but I've got some things need fixing.
Well, amen.
I got some things need fixing tonight. Is your marriage in trouble? The blacksmith shop, it can be repaired. Yeah, I've had couples come to me and say, "Preacher, we're going through some bad times, and what do you suggest?" I suggest getting on your knees, glory to God, come to the blacksmith shop and let him repair it.
Amen.
Some of you who've got hard feelings, maybe against somebody, come up here and get that repaired. You got fences that need mending. But I'm glad there's a blacksmith shop right here tonight that can fix those mended fences tonight. Things need repairing. in your life. It's been said that some maybe not testify like you once did, maybe not lift your hands like you once did, maybe not shed tears like you once did, come to the blacksmith shop tonight and get repaired. What did the Bible say about David? When David sinned, what did he pray? Restore. What's that mean? That means to repair.
Amen.
Oh, how many people needs to come in 2019 just before 12 o'clock and say, God, I need repaired so 2020 can be better. Your prayer life has went to nothing. Hadn't read your Bible. Hadn't witnessed to nobody. And yet we don't need repairing. I'm going to tell you something about the devil tonight. And I want you to listen very well to this. He has no problem with you coming to church.
You're right.
He has no problem with you sitting on this pew Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. But what he does have a problem with is when you will stand up and lift your hands toward heaven and begin to praise Jesus and to testify outside these walls. Amen. Then he has a problem with you. Most Christians he don't even fool with. Because they sit right there on a pew and never say a word and never do nothing for God.
Right.
He don't even fool with them. Some people need to come to the blacksmith shop. What does a blacksmith use? What's his main tool? A hammer. You know what God's doing tonight? He's using an old gospel hammer.
Right.
Ding, 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 ding.
Right.
Chipping away on that old heart of ours. God help us. Last of all tonight, this is why I say when the storms come, remember there's a place to get what you need. That's here. Remember there is a place to get repaired. That's right here. It's not home. I don't know how many Christians I've seen over the years, brother, get puffed up, mad, and leave church and go somewhere else and do all kinds of things and say, well, I'm just not going back up there with that bunch of hypocrites. Well, you're not going to get what you need out there, and you're not going to get prepared out there.
Right.
Amen.
I'd whole lot rather go to church with a bunch of hypocrites and die and go to hell with them.
Amen.
What gets me the same people says, well, bless God, I don't want to be around that bunch of people. Oh, why do you go to Walmart for?
Right.
Amen.
They're there too. So, when the storms come, you got a place to get what you need here tonight.
Amen.
When the storms come, you got a blacksmith tonight that can fix whatever.
Amen.
Whatever that needs fixing in your life. And you know what the third tabernacle was? It was a tabernacle of refreshment. They had good cool water for you. What did he ask the woman at the well? He said, give me a drink of water.
Bless the Lord.
And then he said, if thou knewest who it was that asketh thee of water, you would have asked of him.
Right.
Why? There's a spring of, there's a well of living water.
Bless you, Lord.
That's a refreshing place. It was a place to be refreshed. I'm going to ask everybody this question tonight, and I want you to think about it. How many times have you been at the point that Brother Woody was talking about, and I've been there myself. If my wife got a dollar for every time I said I wasn't going back, brother, I wouldn't have to work no more.
Go ahead, bro.
How many of you has been, I mean, in a battle, been beat down and just about ready to throw in the towel, and you come in this place and there's a refreshing that just comes soaring through, glory to God, and people begin to cry and to shout and to lift their hands up and praise God, and your soul is refreshed. But I'm glad there's places of refreshment along this old journey. I think about one, Brother Woody, years ago, me and you went to Shining Light in an old 66 Ford. Boy, it was a meeting. Shouting and testifying. I believe Wayne was even there that night. But I rode with Woody. When we left, he got to crying and shouting and lifting his hands up, coming down the highway. I was laughing so hard. I was in a Holy Ghost laughing fit. Because he was tore out of frame, and I didn't even know who was driving the truck. Because most of the time, Woody was over there going, woo, 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 woo.
Yeah.
Shouted all the way from Shining Light all the way to his house right there. Times of refreshing. Times of refreshing. You need refresh tonight. You need some refreshing in your soul. Boy, this is a good place to get it. Look at verse number 15. And from thence, when the brethren heard of us, they came to meet us. It was a place of fellowship. But there's nothing that will encourage you like the fellowship of the brethren. And last of all, remember I said it was about 11 miles from Rome? You know what encouraged Paul? His journey was just about over.
Amen.
He's just 11 miles from the finish line. Woo!
Yeah, boy.
Glory to God, Woody. We've been going down the road a long time. But brother, we're right there in them tabernacles. And I can see the light. It's not the porch light. It's Jesus, the Son, the light of that great city. We can almost see that light.
Amen. Glory.
I can almost hear something.
Amen.
You know what I can almost hear? Worthy, 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 worthy is the Lamb of God.
Amen.
I can almost hear it, brother.
Amen.
Yeah. Brother Paul was encouraged because he's almost done.
Amen.
Then you know what Rome was? It was a place of freedom. He got set free in Rome. So, preacher, how do you know that? Turn to the last part of chapter 28. Last part of chapter 28. Verse number 30. And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house and received all that came in unto him. God put him in a house.
Bless you, Lord.
He was a prisoner. When he went in, he was set free. You know what? God set us free from sin. Did he not?
Amen. Right.
And the Bible said, who the Son sets free, he's free indeed.
Right.
But you know what? We still ain't got total victory yet.
That's right.
Woody said it a while ago. If he didn't have that carnal mind, if we didn't have that flesh tonight, we'd be really spiritual. We'd be more like Christ. But glory to God, one day when the journey's over and we drop these old robes of flesh, we're going to be set free.
Amen. Glory.
Yep.
That's total freedom.
Then you know what I'm glad I'm going to be free from? You've been at it longer than I have, brother. You know what it is, don't
Amen.
You?
Amen. Sure do. There won't be no preaching up front.
No. But guess what else ain't going to be there? The devil.
Amen.
We're going to be free of him. No wonder Paul took courage and thanked God when he saw these 3 taverns. I'd wondered that for years, brother. Years and years. And God showed that to me.
Hallelujah. That's good.
3 taverns that's in our storm. It's a place to get what you need. It's a place to get repaired. It's a place to get refreshed. And it's a place to let us know we're about done. I was thinking about these old preachers that started this whole Walter Norman, and some of them back then was preaching Jesus could come back any day. Whew, in 1969. Think about D.L. Moody, Billy Sundays, all these great men of God that died, some of them in the 1800s, some of them in the early 1900s, was preaching Jesus could come back any time.
Amen.
Don't seem like yesterday, Corey, but I was sitting in the back of my car with Keith Center, Chuck Puckett. Boys, every once in a while getting in trouble. Here I am. 50-year-old, been preaching 31 years. We're just about home, church.
Right.
2020, what are you going to do? Your service, brother.
Stand on our feet tonight.